morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. We need the communion table to be brought forward. I think this was kind of done differently. Amen. Amen. The time of communion is something that is so important and sacred to the people of God as one of the ordinances of the local church and assembly. It is a time that we are to fellowship one with another and to be together one with another in spirit and in truth. And so as they begin to prepare and put everything in place as appropriate, we will begin to move forward. We've done this so many times, I don't need to give instructions. If you need instructions, then you need to pass it to the people. That means Deacon-elect Lewis, you need to be up here. Yes, sir. All right. Father, give me strength right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 22, verse 7 through 22, it says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat.' So they said to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare?' And he said to them, 'Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, "The teacher says to you, "Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There, make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I'll no longer eat out of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he has been betrayed." Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God, and we bless your holy name. We thank you for allowing for us to be able to come into your presence one more time, Lord God, to fellowship with you, to sup with you during this most holy ordinance of yours, the Lord's Supper. Receive our worship, receive our praise, receive our fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. We now come to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper given to us to celebrate in memory of his broken body and shed blood. All who wish to participate, please come forward and receive the Lord's Supper. Please do not open the containers until everyone has been served. In other words, you could come and stand where Lady Martin is. Kids are not allowed at this moment. Teenagers can come if they are saved. If they are not saved, please do not come at this time until you fully understand what God is doing in your life. Are we ready? Amen. It is said that on the night before he was betrayed, at the conclusion of the feast of the Passover, which he and his disciples were celebrating, he took the bread and, having blessed it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. And now the next part. Everybody ready? On that same night, the Lord took the cup and, having blessed it, gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my blood, which was shed for you. Take, drink, and do this in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. And according to the law, I may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood. And apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission. As it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Has everyone so desired taking part in the Lord's Supper? Amen. All right, we got one more. All right. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink the cup, ye proclaim the Lord's death till he come." Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for these, your people. We thank you for those that are in the sanctuary, that are a sign and wonder to those that are watching, Heavenly Father, of what it's like to live in communion with you. We thank you, Lord God, for loving us despite us and helping us as we go through these situations and circumstances in life, both the highs and lows. We sit at your feet, Father, and we bless your holy name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may now be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. As we transition to a time of worship and giving, I can't say all of the details of what the ministry is in need of until the very end, because I want to give the people the opportunity to be able to give according to their hearts, give according to the needs of this particular church. But I can say without having a specific number that we are in a great need of having our finances come up to par. In May, we had a very rocky May, a very inconsistent May. I know a lot of things have happened, but I also know that the people of God need to make sure that they follow and be consistent, whether they are present in the house of the Lord or whether they are absent. And so today, I'm asking each and every one of you to try to give double what you normally give, in order for us to be able to overcome the deficit that is needed for this particular month. Amen? Amen. And I will just leave it at that. And if we are short of that particular number, we will try to address it before we leave today. Amen. For those of you that are watching online and watching at home, for all the fathers that are at home right now attending to children or other particular matters, to all the mothers that may be on their sickbed and you're watching at this time, consider this ministry, consider giving, consider sowing into good ground, and I promise you it will truly bless your life. So go ahead and get a seed in your hand. This is also a great and sacred time of giving. Make sure that you sow. We have to make it through the summertime, which traditionally is a time that is very hard on churches and hard on the people of God because of all of the distractions and travel and things that happen. But just do the best that you can. Lead by example. Amen. Amen. So let us pray as we go forward in the time of giving. Lord God, I pray that you bless these, your people. I pray that you are able, that you show them the exact number that is needed to be poured into this ministry, Heavenly Father, so that we can continue your work in this particular community. Lord God, I pray for those that may be watching online right now, that they also will have a heart to sow and a heart to give, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord God, and we bless your holy name. Let everyone be on one accord and synced together appropriately. Help me also, Heavenly Father, as I begin to deliver the word this morning to these, your people. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and get a seat in your hand and give exactly what God told you to give and go beyond because we need it. Be blessed, people of God. Let the Lord use you. Thank you for your gifts. I gave you for your heart. I thank you for allowing for the Lord to move upon your heart. As I begin to go into the word this morning, this is probably one of the most important messages that I have preached in quite some time and quite a long time, quite a long time. So I pray that your ears are attentive to this. I pray that every man, woman, and child that can understand and hear the words of my voice will receive this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. And it says, and this is the words of Jesus here. It says, I have many more things to say to you. And he was basically talking to the scribes and Pharisees. But you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Repeating verse 13, and then that's where I'll stop. Verse 13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all what? Truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears from God specifically, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. Amen. And the title of this morning's message is, Help Me Today, Since You Are on the Internet. Since you are on the Internet. Father, help me now. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. When I see Elder Winsley squinting, boy, I tell you. So go ahead and put in your hats. You might want to sit down for this one, Elder. Since you're on the internet. For thousands of years, man has communicated in various ways. It started first with face-to-face communication through languages, dialect, and sound. Then it proceeded through inscriptions of writings on tablets, stone tablets, if you will, the inside of caves, and other pieces of art like vessels or faces. This was done in the form of pictographs, like hieroglyphics. The specific term for this is Medu-Netter, or at least that's what they tell us it is. As time passed, there was a revolution in how things were communicated with the use of papyrus and ink to pass messages, which is how we received the Hebrew scriptures, the Dead Sea Scrolls, and other writings from different cultures. Information then spread faster and faster, and the occupation of the scribe became a top profession in the ancient world, on par with being a soldier like the centurion, a tax collector, and a physician. Fast forward to the printing press developed in the year 1439, which led to a global explosion of communication because people no longer had to manually make copies by hand, but through machine. When somebody wrote a text, they didn't have any place to scan it and copy it through a fax machine. They had to write it and hear it dictated to them by the people of old, write it down, measure up everything, and then write it again, word for word, and describe the reason why they got paid so much. And why you hear that word so often in Scripture is because it was truly an ancient profession, a work of art. If somebody wrote a character or a letter that was off, especially when it comes to documents that were sacred, they would discard of the entire manuscript just to start all over again. You thought that you had pain in your hand when it came to you repeating your name over and over again, like I did when I was in elementary school. I said, I will not talk in class. I will not talk in class. I will not talk in class. I will not talk. I will not talk. I actually tried that one time, and the teacher made me erase the board. That's what we had in ancient times, y'all. They made me erase the board with an eraser and made me start all over again because I was not following instructions. The printing press, an explosion of communication. It was actually the world's second information boom after the ink and papyrus was invented and was used. That particular methodology was something that was so important, and it was revolutionary. But after the printing press was made, and over the next 500 plus years, of being the gold standard, things begin to take another shift. So man, once again, had a creative ability, and this began to get stirred up in the 60s and 70s with what we call today, here's the message, as the internet. It started as a military project. I remember studying papers talking about ARPANET, and I remember being in the early days of college and searching through Lycos and, oh my goodness, and Excite and all of these, and Alta Vista. Some of y'all probably don't even remember those things, but for those of us that had who could go onto the internet and just find things, it was just crazy. I went to some sites that I was able to find out some crazy information, find out some sites about papers and homework, and then some sites that were just totally off the wall. And this was in the early 90s, y'all. You may have remembered such services as AOL, browsers such as Netscape, and those screeching modems. You remember that? I remember it. And we were going at a blazing 1440 baud. That's 14.1 kilobytes per second. I'm not talking about megabytes. Papers were frustrating. Looking up stuff was very slow. However, as time passed, emails began to replace letters, websites took over newspapers, and chat rooms brought people together from different places into one area. Now we have social media, Instagram, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, LinkedIn, where names can be placed with faces. You can also put one's whole life and thoughts on display with a click of a button. TV providers are also feeling the winds of change as people are using YouTube, Netflix, Hulu. I call it TV a la carte. I remember telling my wife just a few years ago when DirecTV was draining us dry, I said, I wish there was some way that we could just pick one or two channels that we want to see and then just discard the rest, because we don't even watch all of those channels. Then whoop, there it is. And because people like things a la carte, they start driving up the prices anyway, but only showing you exactly the content that they provide. And they have agreements with each other, basically saying, hey, guess what? Oh, excuse me, people, you guys back there, can you go ahead and blank that off the screen? Change the screen. Thank you. Thank you so much. So basically what ended up happening was is that you had all of this stuff from Hulu and people are now piecing together different types of things just to try to get what they want to see on TV. And even nowadays, people don't even want to watch TV anymore. They figure that they'll become their own producers by using footage or entertainment from their cellular phones. just like for us today, we're going live on Facebook just to try to spread the message. And you can go live from your phone as well, providing your own topic. Remember, my wife and them were watching this particular lady talking about sheeple lay and all these other different types of things. And it was just a chronological thing for her life. And people love likes and they love the content. And they just move on to the next thing and to the next thing. So on the surface, all of the changes over the last several thousand years have been progressive and innovative. However, there is one thing that still poses a threat to such mediums of communication, and that is people. People. People who use it to spread lies among the truth. So since you're on the internet until 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 a.m., 1 a.m., posting things that you don't have any idea where they come from, the memes that you look up, the photographs that you put down, the boyfriend that you hooked up into and he got an onk around his neck and you wonder why he will never set foot in the church. I am trying to tell you the truth of where they got this stuff from and what, as the people of God, should do about it. So once again, since you are on the internet, and you're not going to turn off your phones, and you're not going to unplug the computers, you need to know how to discern truth from error in this modern world. And so if the media team is good back there, if Jamari and Alicia are ready to go this particular morning, the graphic that you see on your screen, this important thing is a collage, if you will, of things that folk find on the internet. Things that you may be unaware of. And I pray that if you do end up searching these things on the internet, if you were introduced to them in college or by that, that deep boyfriend or that deep girlfriend or the deep husband or that deep wife or those hidden secrets, you know, that one family member that they just crazy as a Betsy bug, but they know all of this stuff. But when you look at their life, you know, this is what they find. So it's just starting from the left to the right. You see the first thing called Hidden Colors that was from a gentleman called Tariq Nasheed. And you can't see it, but I could tell you that it basically says that it is the cross of Christianity, the religion of white supremacy. Then you will see a slave Bible and how that, you know, the people of color wouldn't have become Christians until they came in contact with Christianity. And then you have world's 16 crucified saviors, Christianity before Christ. And then you have Richard Dawkins and the God delusion, the atheist. And then you have Ray Higgins, a former pastor. And then you have coexist with all the religions, basically a form of pluralistic relativism. And then you have my favorite, slaves obey your masters, because that Bible that you have is the reason why our people are in the situation that we are in. And then you have beautiful 666, melanin power. Six protons, six neutrons, six electrons. Is that number really, really evil? Then you have a picture of a person formerly thought of as Jesus, as equal to Horus. Oh, goodness. But the scripture says that we should not have any graven images. And there's iconography. But grandmama has a picture of him up inside of the bedroom. And because he has a different hue, you can't quite hear correctly any longer. And then I'm going to pivot to the right. You see the Illuminati. My child asked me about the Illuminati the other day. And I said, Daddy, if you find them on the internet, will they come to your house? And will they draft you? Is that the thing that you're looking for? You know, all these conspiracy theories. Since you're on the internet, you might as well know what you're looking at. And then you have the brother down at the bottom right-hand corner. He's called himself ex-pastor Kevin Wesley. But when we look deeper, we find out that he was never a pastor at all, but some type of youth minister that was woefully ignorant of the scriptures, was always an atheist, but now puts his thoughts on Front Street and has conferences and charges those of you that have pushed themselves away from the church and charge you money just to hear him speak about nothing. S.R. Chaya is the young lady right here. Next to Brother Wesley, and she was also notorious for speaking against the things of God, for looking at hidden secrets. She didn't believe in Jesus Christ and mocked the church day and night. But ironically, she died on December the 25th a couple of years ago. And then my favorite in the center of it all, something that many of our young people are exposed to today, YouTube University, where you can get your degree for watching a couple of videos late at night, and now you have become the foremost expert on all things theological, all things political, all things dealing with gender identification and fluidity, whatever that means, and as well as other topics that are going on in the world. Now you know things. Now you got it distinct. Now you have it in your mind. So since you're on the internet, you need to know the truth. So what is the truth? Is it objective or is it relative? The topic today is not something that is commonly taught of in churches, and a lot of pastors and a lot of leaders are very afraid of even exposing their people to it. But most of y'all have already bitten the apple in the dead of night. You do have a family member that has explored these particular things and these particular ideas, and when they come to the cookout, they share them with you, and then you start scratching your head saying, maybe I am missing something. But are you? So what is the truth? Is it objective or relative? Well, let's break down those two words. First of all, let's talk about subjective truth. Subjective truth, better known as relativism, is the doctrine that knowledge, truth, and morality exist in relation to the culture, society, or historical context and are not absolute. Let me make it plain. Whatever is true for you is not necessarily true for me. Whatever is right for you is not necessarily right for me. How you did it in your particular neck of the woods is not the same way that we do it here. So it's all over the place. The political pundits call it moving the goalposts. What's true on Fox News is not the same thing as it being true on MSNBC or CNN. What's true for the Republicans is not necessarily true for the Democrats. What's true for black people is not the same for white people. These are subjective truths. This is what I mean by when people say, tell us your truth. People should eliminate that word and say, please tell us your opinion. There it is. So relativism affirms that there is no absolute truth, only ideas and preferences. The things that are going on today with abortion and same-sex marriage, they all center around preferences. But what is the truth? Yes, you have family members, but all your family members are not the barometer for truth. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, now that I've gotten your attention, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, objective truth is for everyone, regardless of culture, society, historical context, and emotional appeals. I understand that you were raised in South Africa, and the way that they did things over there, you have your own particular culture. But when it comes to things that are true, if I drop you off a building in Africa, and I drop you off a building in the United States, and I drop you off of a building in Paris, guess what's going to happen if you have no parachute? You're going to die. So it's the truth, regardless of where you come from or how you were raised. So your culture does not override if something is true or not. Where you come from, how you were raised, what you look like, how much money that you have. We were living in a day and a time to where if a person does not have a lot of money, you discard what they say. The scripture speaks about that plainly. It says a wise old man is not even considered in the streets. But if that person has power and money and influence, wow, man, you really take it to what they have it to effect. That's why you have Trump University. As much as people don't like Donald Trump, you listen to exactly what he got to say. Because he got money. Yeah. But here's another question that you may have asked. Who determines the truth? Well, in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says that God is the source of truth. In Numbers 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, implying that men lie, women lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. In other words, God is not sorry. I know the scripture says in that one particular verse that God was sorry for flooding the people of the planet. He was sorry that you all didn't listen. He wasn't sorry that he had to do it, because he is righteous and he is just. But he would have preferred that you would have listened, so he wouldn't have to bring judgment. That's the last thing that God wants to do, but he will do it. So he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and he will not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not make it good? So in other words, God is different from us. He is not created, he is creator. He is not governed by the United States, he governs the entire planet. But what, Pastor Martin, if I see someone say something that makes me question my faith online? Well, in Titus chapter 3, verse 8 through 11, it says, this is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. But watch this, avoid foolish controversies and genealogies. Controversies basically means that don't engage in stupidity online. Because you can't save somebody through typing. God saves them and brings them through to himself through the person of Jesus Christ. For all my intellectuals out there. And it also talks about, but avoid genealogies, where you come from and who you're related to. Well, I just can't believe the Bible because our ancestors were not all good. Some of our ancestors, speaking of black people specifically, sold us into slavery. Sold us to the Arabs, sold us to the Portuguese from Spain. It was a common practice back in the day. That is hard to hear, but it's the truth. So since you're on the internet, you need to look up that history and not just Google everything. And I'm going to get to that in just a moment for all my YouTube scholars out there. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strifes and disputes about the law of God. For they are, watch this, unprofitable and worthless. I'm not going to even waste my time. And it goes on to say, reject a facetious man. The proper translation of this is heretic. And I'll explain to you what a heretic means. Reject a heretic or facetious man or woman after a first and second warning, knowing that such a person is perverted and is sinning and being self-condemned. So after the third time that they've rejected you and rejected the gospel and rejected the truth of God, leave them alone. You don't have to post anything on their Facebook page. You don't have to be passive aggressive and trying to reach out to them. You say what God said, and then you leave it to God. Because such were some of you. You went to church all your life, but many of us did not really believe until God came into the picture. You're here, but when that thing starts touching your heart, it's now into a whole different realm. See, when you're saved, when you see stuff like this, you'd be like, man, please. But when you are seeking and searching, because you don't exactly know what truth is, then these things start getting down your spirit, and you now need to investigate further. Yes. Yes. Because that man up there in that pulpit, you know they be lying. They be lying. They just want your money. They be lying. They be lying. They ain't doing nothing good. And most of the time, I always wonder how people can be an expert on what goes on in the church and they never go. And they haven't even talked to a pastor in years. They just see a Cadillac driving, Viceroy smoking, Newport smoking, pink gaiters and a Stacey Adams shirt and a suit. And that's what's in the image of their mind. You know what the image is in their mind? Coming to America, preacher. Lusting after women, looking crazy. That's what's in their mind. But I beg to differ. But pastor, from my folk from the neighborhood, pastor, they sound smart though. But they sound smart and believable. Who's to say they are wrong? Who's to say that they are wrong? I mean, I don't have nothing against you. I don't have anything against what you do now. Now you good. You all right. You all right. But who's to say that they are wrong? Well, Matthew chapter 24, verse 23-24, it gives words from Jesus as specifically why they are wrong and why these people exist. Verse 23 says, then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, for there he is, do not believe him. For a false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the very elect. The reason why people such as Ray Higgins, who was in the upper right-hand corner with his nice little kufi and the African garb on, and Kevin X. Winsley, Pastor Kevin Winsley, why they gathered a whole bunch of people is because they said that they were ex-pastors. So if a pastor turns away from the faith as one of God's elect, then it must be legitimate to the ignorant. But if you begin to study deeper, if you begin to bring your happy self to Bible study, you begin to find out that what these people are saying is not true, and that they were never saved in the first place. They were religious, but they had no relationship with God. So since you're on the internet, maybe you had this question or this feeling, but the stuff they say makes me so mad online. You ever seen that? One of your friends, one of your partners, it makes you turn red as a turnip. And you black. It makes you feel some kind of way. It makes you feel like you have dead butterflies on the inside of your stomach. And you just want to lash out emotionally, but you have no facts. And when you challenge them just with emotion, it falls on dead ears. But James chapter 1, verse 17 through 20 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, meaning God himself, Jehovah God himself, with whom there is, here it is, no variation or shifting shadow. In other words, God is light. He is truth. He does not change. If it comes from him, it is truth. You die, he does not. You change, I change. He does not have gray hair touching somebody with their finger on a painting on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. That's not him. That will decay. But God, as the scripture says, is a spirit. I know you like, young people, you like that song where Ariana Grande says, God is a woman. Mm-hmm. From my brothers out there, they're trying to feed into their lust by saying that the black woman is a goddess. Because she's the giver of life. But every woman has a father. So since you're on the internet, you might as well just go ahead and go on to verse 19. It says in verse 18, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. There it is again. So that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. And in other words, you don't come up with your own truth. You should be an extension of what God has said. The first fruits. That was his original intent. That was his entire purpose, for you to be an extension of who he is. But since Adam and Eve fell in the garden, there have been snakes and there has been slitherings and there have been lies and there's been distortions. Regardless of any type of system that is out there, there have been false teachers and false Christs and false prophets. The Bible says that there will be plenty of them. So how come we don't know any of them? I'm not talking about the egregious, most extreme examples such as Jim Jones or David Koresh or cult leaders down in Miami. No, no. I'm not talking about people who just call themselves Jesus and they're leading people through the streets in our contemporary time. I'm talking about people who preach every single Sunday, who post videos online, and they're bishops that have no churches. They're prophets that are in it for a profit. And they have flyers and they have prophetic conferences that tell people about the goodness of God through money. And now things are fluctuating between two extremes where you have prosperity gospel that says the more that you give, the more that God will bless you. And that's not right. However, I also have to go to the other end of the spectrum. There's a such thing as misery gospel, which is people only believe that you're really close to God because you're poor and you have nothing to give. A vow of poverty. And God never spoke about either. He said that you should worship him in season or out of season. And you worship God whether you're base or whether you're bound through the highs and lows. In other words, you should do everything in decency and in order. In my daddy's voice, do things in moderation. That's the word. It's not the right or the left of the same bird. You should be in the center of the will of God. But what about what I found through my research? Oh, I love that. Research it. I don't need to tell you nothing. Research. That's usually the question that is answered by a question. Where did you get that from? Do your own research. Research it for yourself. But I ask you, what do you research or how? How do you research? Well, Jude chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligently writing to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. In other words, we're talking about the gospel. And Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, we got that part, and we love it. Now you must contend for the faith. You can't just let people misrepresent who I am. You don't have to down what they are doing, but you don't need to let people just misrepresent who you believe in. I don't care where they come from. If they're related to you or not, don't let people misrepresent your faith. And you need to know enough about it to be able to articulate it intelligently with power and faith. Amen. And be able to walk away from the table if they are not listening. Mm-hmm. So it says in verse 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago was marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our Lord into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a very important and stark statement, because that, in addition to other scriptures, boldly declares that there is only one way to God. And so while you may see a coexist sticker on the back of some hippie's car, or one of your children have come back from college, because it's all inclusive, it is still contrary to the word of God. We'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center. God wants your dreams and visions realized. Y'all all right this morning? You okay this morning? Mama and them, they couldn't tell you reason why they didn't like Junior coming over to the house. But maybe now you know. Because they were in all types of stuff. And mama looked in their eyes. Daddy looked in their eyes. They ain't right about him. Ain't something right about her. They into some different type of stuff. I can't quite put my finger on it. You need to watch them. So people crept in unnoticed. We got Christians who believe in Jesus and other stuff. That God is not the only way. That people take precedence over the principles of God. But look at how God identified those that distort the truth. And then I'm almost done. John chapter 8, verse 44 through 47, it says this. Jesus ain't missed no words. He said, you are of your father the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is, watch this, no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature in his native tongue, as one translation states. For he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me? Which one of you convicts me of sin? Jesus said, if I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He was of God, hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. So yes, that one particular relative, that one particular coworker, that one particular person in your life, or even you. Amen. Up in here. If you do not believe that Jesus is Lord and that he died, was buried, and rose again from the third day, and you are affirming something else, your father is not God. That's hard to hear. It's hard to hear preaching like this during the dry months of summer, where you have people that have thousands of options to go online or to click you off or to not come because the culture has shifted. However, I do believe that we're in a time where the church must return to orthodoxy, return to the first things, the first works, the book of Acts, to really separate truth from error, from what you want to do and how you want to do it, the Burger King mentality, having it your way to God's way. Amen. To understanding the creeds that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that there is one God, there is one faith, and there is one baptism. Besides him, there is none other. That we believe in his church, and that we are the church, and that we're married to Christ. And that Jesus is God, not just some teacher, not equivalent to Buddha or Muhammad or Sung Myung Moon, not equivalent to some psychedelic or pseudo-scientific African spirituality that you looked up on the internet last night. And now you're trying to make your pineal gland vibrate to a higher level of consciousness. How do you make your pineal gland vibrate to a higher level of consciousness? Do it. Do it now. Provide the evidence.
Tell it, Pastor.
That's right.
Mm.
Tell it, Pastor. Yes. Tell
it. So as I close, how do you find the truth? And I say a message like this, which may be unpopular, but for our young people, all my millennials out there, and even some of my Gen X and boomer folk that are out there, but especially my millennials and younger, you are growing up where you are being inundated with stuff like this. And it makes you think twice about even coming to church because, you know, since I found it out there, therefore it must be the truth. And Pastor Martin, I like him. He cool and all that. He nice to my husband. He nice to my wife and all that. But he's still lying. Because I found something on YouTube University. I got my degrees from Google State of the Arts. I appreciate them, but I have graduated from church now. How do you graduate from the things of God as a finite being? How do you graduate from wanting to be in the presence of God and his people? How do you say that you could just do this by yourself at home, where most of you all will send your kids to school and you won't let them stay home because they need to learn something? Let your child make themselves get to the 12th grade without any teaching. But yet we bring the same type of logic into the house of the Lord and say, I don't need a pastor and I don't need to learn anything. I can study the scriptures for myself. Not even understanding that's how cults started. Because when you study stuff for yourself and you're not in a community to where your beliefs are challenged and scrutinized, then you'll come up with some of anything, like Mormonism, which believes that the prophets of God brought the Ark of the Covenant and the prophets extended themselves into the United States. and that the faith started with some hieroglyphic golden tablets that were found by an angel called Nephi. Or Jehovah's Witnesses who believe that Jesus and the devil are brothers and that he is the Son of God, but not God. So when they knock on your door or they're sitting outside by the side of the road with the books stacked up high and they're just looking for you to come by,
yes, Lord.
And they give you that Bible that says New World Translation on it or the Watchtower. And God knows for all my black males out there or my people of color, now you got the Hebrew Israelites with their Thundercat outfits on with armbands and headbands, and they're standing there yelling through a microphone about how the man is keeping you down and keeping you out of the will of God, and they believe in Christ. And we got camps and gangs and all this other stuff right here, and the louder I talk, that means I have authority. And so the brothers love that because they don't have a father figure. And they gravitate towards it because there's order in the midst of chaos. And the ladies love it because they didn't have a father figure or they have a weak behind man at the house. And so they gravitate towards them. But then all of a sudden, they once had long hair that was permed or natural hair, but now it's all braided down. And now they're walking around with a burqa over their head as if they're an ancient Jew. So that's the reason why Sister Watermelon Head ain't been to service no more. I went on her Facebook page. She has a post that says 2016. And now in 2019, now I see what's happened. She's with Brother Ben Israel. Brother X, Y, and Z. And they just got a whole bunch of Ileana Van Zant, excuse me, I know y'all love that show. But she's a Yoruba priestess. She's not a Christian. Let Oprah put a preacher on the OWN network. But her view of preachers is Greenleaf. She has no problem with that. There's some truth to it, but not everybody's like that. So how to find the truth, Pastor Martin, and this is where I close. Time went by fast, didn't it? How to find the truth? Well, here's some tips for you. You can watch this at a later time. Number one, search the scriptures. But not just search the scriptures, cross-reference things. Exegete the text. Let me make it plain to what the word exegete means. E-X-E-G-E-T-E. Exegete the text. When you hear somebody say exegete the text, that means that don't just take it at its face value. Look at who the writer is, the time period that it was written, the audience that it was written to, and the culture that surrounds that particular writing. You got it? That's very important. So you just can't just study the Bible and be like, whoop, there it is. Because you too will be swept away by that wild relative that says all this crazy stuff, and now you start thinking in two places at once. Because you don't know for yourself. So cross-reference, exegete, look deeper into the text, study what words mean. The New Testament is in Greek, the Old Testament is in Hebrew. If you have some confusion about that word, or you got that one person that says, the Bible's full of contradictions, you don't have to say anything to them. You study for yourself like the Berean Christians. Ask your pastor, or ask somebody that is well-versed in the scriptures that will not give you their opinion, but give you the word, because the word defines what the word means. You don't define what the word means. And beware of fallacies. Well, just like that graphic right there where you have a picture of a person that is supposed to be Jesus and the other side, which is supposed to be Horus or what have you, you have to be careful that of fallacies. Just because they have a drawing that looks like an orb around that particular one and an orb around the other doesn't mean that they're related to each other. If there is some relation, you have to understand why. Why do they look similar? Well, one of them is in the Catholic tradition. The other one looks similar because during the ancient times, a lot of the Romans took a lot of the religions and they smashed them together. And they copied a lot of things. And so we have young people that believe that a version of Roman Catholicism is what all Christians believe. But let me tell you the truth. The Roman Church was not founded until the year 1054 AD. What about the first century? For all my people that says, well, what was it like before? Jesus ain't no Christian. No, he ain't got no, he ain't no Christian. Because he's the founder. Amen. He's the founder. So why would the founder be a follower? I'm removing stumbling blocks. I felt a couple of things crumble in somebody's mind right then. I want to pull all that stuff out so that you won't just be coming to church. Oh, praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord. I'm blessed and highly favored, fooling people when you don't really believe God in the first place. I want you to get past that. The second thing is understand the ways one acquires knowledge. Faith is a way to acquire knowledge of God. Faith pleases him. But there's also logic, and it's found in scriptures too. You see it all through the book of Romans. He understood his audience and who he was talking to. He saw that they were secular humanists that were there. And there was people at the Apocrypha, or the Areopagus, excuse me, and they were basically having ideas, the Epicureans and Stoics. Epicurus is the one who says that God is not all powerful, he's not all good. He's the one who said that. The Stoics were the old school atheists of the day, or the agnostics of the day. And Paul was contending with them and bouncing ideas back and forth with them, just like they are today. But he knows how to logically tell people that the Bible does make sense of this world. Then there's experience. Sometimes you got to experience things, but some experiences are not from God. Just because you had a shout and a jerk at some church on the other side of the moon because you got your bills paid, or they didn't evict you, that does not mean that that was God. Amen. It doesn't mean that that was God. It means that you might have made some bad financial decisions and God had mercy on you. Or you got some weed and you started reading the Bible at the same time because you're trying to vibrate to another level of consciousness. And then there's evidence. All those things are inside of the Bible. You got people that only believe in evidence. You got to show me something. I said, what is something that will prove to you that God is real? I don't know. But just keep on showing me stuff. Keep on showing me stuff. Prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it. Leave them alone. There's nothing that you can prove to people who have that mindset. They have to have an experience. Because faith is not enough. Watch this. Logic is not enough, because you could talk people back and forth and then you could take them to the seventh level of philosophy and humanities and they're still like, well, I still need some evidence. And then you have to ask them, what is sufficient? I don't know what's sufficient, but if you keep on showing to me, I'll tell you what it is when I see it. And that is an endless loop of insanity. A person like that needs a true experience from God, a holy one, a regenerative one. The same God that saved you has to save that person. Then you need to test the spirits. Simple test. Ma'am, sir, do you believe Jesus is God? No? Okay, why don't you believe that? Well, thus and so forth. Are you sure? Oh, okay, well, no, I was just confused. Yes, I do believe that Jesus is God. Or, no, I believe that Jesus was a good person and he was a great teacher. Now, that person, when they say that, they sound so polite and so gentle. But in the back of your mind, you have to say, that person is of the devil. Because they just said a contrary to what the scripture said. That's kind of hard, isn't it? And they say, you don't have to go out and say, you are of the devil. You begin to pray that God will open up their eyes. Because such were some of you. Because we didn't believe out of our mother's womb. We didn't believe because we were in church. Many of us were just like some of the young people that are sitting on the back rows of the church that weren't paying attention to nothing and were sleeping and nodding off. We were some of those same people. Amen. And we weren't listening. Some of the adults are doing the same thing. But you got to test the spirits. Simple test. Is Jesus God? Did he live, die, was buried, and rose again? That's it. Test the spirits. And then finally, vet the prophets. Did the prophecy come to pass? Is it balanced or sensationalized? That prophet that told you that thing from 2019 or 2018 at that conference that you snuck away from, you didn't tell Pastor Martin about it. Did it come to pass yet? This is your year. This is your season. This is your time. I'm walking in authority. I'm marching into my blessing. And it's going to happen for you for only $19.95. And that comes with no shipping and handling. You can now get your little bottle of anointing oil, your prayer handkerchiefs, and all this other stuff in a package if you send it to me right now. Do you have a church? No, I got a P.O. box, though, in Boca Raton. But you got to test the prophets. Many of you have been spoken things by people of this congregation, by my wife, and by myself that have come to pass. And sometimes it has not been in the best of situation or circumstances, but it's still the truth anyhow. And it's not always doom and gloom. There is blessings that are around the corner for those that follow God. There is favor and there is open doors after you suffered for a little while.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? You will have a blessing and prosperous relationship with your spouse if both of y'all put y'all pride aside and follow God.
Yeah, that's it.
You get that? That's the word. So how to stay in the truth? And this is where I close. John chapter 8, verse 25 through 32 says, "Then they said to him, 'Who are you?' And Jesus said to them, 'Just what I have been saying to you from the very beginning, Lord have mercy. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you.'" So that looks like Jesus is getting ready to judge some folks. "But he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him." That's very key, verse 20, because it does say that that Jesus will judge you, but not at this time. Okay, very important. Verse 27. "They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, 'When you lift up a son of man, or when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, or I am God, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him.' And as he spoke these words, many believed in him without apologetics, without Googling, without research, without watching a YouTube video, without going to church 400 days of the week or staying in service until 6 p.m. every single Sunday because, you know, if people made you. They just believed as he was giving the word. That was it. Then Jesus said in verse 31 to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word," this is how you stay in the truth. If you abide, stay in, study, stop skipping Thursday nights unless you got work. Watch the videos, listen to them over and over again, read the scriptures, stop checking out, stop watching stuff online that you click off after 1 or 2 minutes. Put your hand up saying, "Hey, Pastor," and then all of a sudden you cooking and cleaning and baking chicken and inside of there while the video is going on. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall, here it is, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So that's how you stay in the truth. You have to abide in the word of God. And when you really know that word, false prophets can't come to the church. When you really know that word, you won't be hooked up with that crazy behind boyfriend or girlfriend that's into astral projection and listening to conspiracy theories and all this other stuff like that. You'll pick it up just like that. And you'll be like, "I'm good. You cute. You fine, but I'm good." You got a Coke bottle shape. You got chest that's hairy and six pack, money, all the other stuff. Somebody say they don't like hairy chest. Okay, smooth chest. You know what somebody like? You won't be fooled by that. Because the scripture says that a person that is unequally yoked is never going to work right. It will never work right. There's your answer. It will never work right. And then you shall know the truth. and the truth will make you free. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So since you're on the internet and you see all of this stuff, if you have a question, make sure that you ask. I'll sit down with you. We'll talk it over. Some of you don't need this, but others of you that be in your brain a whole lot, be thinking and all that wild stuff, let's talk about it. For those of you that are watching online, that are peeking in, let's talk about it. Don't post what you think about what a preacher thinks. Talk to him. Don't just put stuff out there. Talk to one. One that is truly an adherent to the word of God. And it's not about their own opinion. Anytime I get into a gray area or somebody asks me a question about, you know, what does this mean? If I don't know, I just say, I don't know, but let me find out. Because I don't want to give you what I feel it means. Because feelings will get you in a lot of trouble.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Come on, stand to your feet. We done. When I smell Snack Shack, ooh, Lord have mercy. It's at attention. All right. Amen. Amen. Well, at this moment in time, we got a little bit of house cleaning to do. Brother Jamar, go ahead and cut the cameras. You know what this means. Y'all know, don't you? You know what it means. God bless you people that are online. So, we are exactly, can I tell it? Can I preach it how I feel it?